Dr. Horvath said I'm going to be talking about some of my dissertation work involving simazine sorption and degradation in Bermuda grass versus bare ground soil systems. So a survey and a literature review done in 1988 revealed that 74 ag chemicals were found in the groundwater of 38 states. I'm sure this has increased substantially since then, mainly due to technological advances, better ability to detect chemicals in groundwater and surface water. And because of multiple pesticide applications applied to turf, there's a lot of public concern. And simazine is one of these high-use herbicides that has been found in groundwater in the past and recently. So when you combine turf grass close to homeowners and then mix that with high pesticide applications and a lot of irrigation and rainfall involved with golf courses and home lawns, it creates a lot of public concern. So there are many factors that lead to groundwater contamination of pesticides. Many of these deal with the pesticide properties, such as high water solubility, low soil absorption, long environmental persistence, or soil site characteristics such as sand, shallow depth of groundwater, a wet climate, extensive irrigation, which is the case with a lot of turf grass environments, poor timing with respect to climate, and probably one of the bigger ones is over-application. The gold stars indicate simazine and typical turf grass situations. So we have a lot of sandy areas where turf grass is. Coastal areas lead to shallow depth of groundwater, and simazine has a long environmental persistence. So if you look at a turf grass system in general and where the pesticide goes, about minutes to hours after application, it volatilizes or it photodegrades. Another fate could be this is to represent a hardscape here, a concrete area, and you could get some surface runoff here if you get a lot of rainfall or irrigation after application. Once the pesticide is able to enter the soil, it can be sorbed to soil or it can degradate either microbially or chemically. When you take a magnifying glass and zoom in on the soil, you see here the soil particles in the brown and a general pesticide molecule here in the red and yellow. And you can see how it adsorbs to the outside of a soil particle as is circled here. And it can, it can remain in soil solution available for plant uptake or microbial degradation. So when it's available and in soil solution, microorganisms can get at it. Now they either ingest the pesticide as seen here, or they have extracellular enzymes that will break down this pesticide into metabolites and eventually into water and CO2. I'm going to be talking primarily today about the sorption and microbial degradation in turf grass systems. So my objectives were to compare the degrees of sorption of simazine to surface soil and subsoil from Bermuda grass and bare ground soil, characterize the role of inhabiting microorganisms and soil organic matter in simazine degradation. To do this, we collected soil from our Sandhills Research Station in Pinehurst, North Carolina. We have a setup there where we have a half of a plot is Bermuda grass. It's been there for about 10 years, and then another half of a plot that has been kept weed-free in a bare ground situation. So I removed intact cores from both sides, brought them back to the lab, separated into differing depths, 0 to 5 centimeters and 5 to 15 centimeters, and sieved the soil for removal of plant material. This is some soil, the soil was sent off for analysis, and as you can see here, the turf surface soil has the highest organic matter and percent organic carbon, which is what we would expect. And the rest of the soils here are fairly similar in their properties, with the exception of, I want you to notice right here this pH being very low here in that bare ground subsoil. That's going to come up a little bit later. So for the sorption experiment, our experimental design was a 2x4x2 factorial with 16 total treatments, two soil systems, turf from bare ground, four concentrations, and the two soil depth. It was replicated four times. It was repeated in time. And data was pulled for analysis due to low variability between runs. Sorption was determined using a batch equilibrium technique in which a 10 milliliter solution of each simazine concentration was added to 2 grams of air-dried soil in a 30 mil Teflon lined centrifuge tube. Samples were shaken for 24 hours at room temperature, and then they were centrifuged for 15 minutes for separation of solution and sorbed phases. After centrifugation, the radioactivity was analyzed in 2 1 milliliter aliquots, and simazine distribution was described using the Frundlich equation, as you can see here, where S is the amount of simazine sorbed in micromoles per kilogram, C is a solution concentration in micromoles per liter, and KF and 1 over N are empirical constants derived by nonlinear regression techniques. And I'll show you how these are derived. If you plot the log of the S, which is the sorbed concentration, against the log of the equilibrium concentration, you get a linear line here, and using the equation from that linear line, you can get your 1 over n value, which is the slope of that line, and then the log KF, which is the intercept, and 10 to the log of the KF results in the KF here, which is a 2.4, which gives you a it allows you to relate between soils for sorption. So again, I said the KF it allows you to compare soils for degrees of sorption. So you see here the highest amount of sorption occurring in the turf grass surface soil, and the other soils or soil depths were approximately the same. And you look at the KD, which is the amount sorbed divided by the solution concentration. It's just another measurement of soil sorption commonly used. You see the same relationship there. The KOC, it takes into account the organic carbon. So you can see that simazine, if you have a value higher than around 100, that shows a medium to high affinity for a compound. So as you can see here, most of the soils tested here showed that the organic carbon was the major player here. This is the sorption isotherms. Here we have simazine sorbed on the y-axis and the equilibrium concentration on the x-axis. As you can see, as shown by the KF value, the turf surface soil was the highest, created the highest sorption, and the other three soils were all kind of clustered here low. Although they are clustered, you still see that this bare subsoil is higher than some of the other ones, and I believe that is due to that low pH again. When simazine is in low pH, it becomes protonated, becomes more cationic, therefore it has more of an ability to sorb to soil particles. Now our microbial degradation portion of the study was a 2x2x2 factorial with 8 total treatments, 2 soil systems, again, And two soil treatments. This time I had non-sterile soil and then I sterilized soil using an autoclave. Again, the two soil depths. Three replications, repeated again, and the experiment was pulled due to lack of variability again. So I used soil microcosms for this experiment, where you have each microcosm is a treatment. So I had eight treatments, three replications, 24 total microcosms. You have each individual vial in here represents a week after treatment. The soil was treated with 2.24 kilograms AI per hectare, an equivalent concentration mixed to 7.5 centimeters. I had a total of eight vials in here, and one was sodium hydroxide, which is able to trap the CO2 and as a measure of microbial degradation. So at each sampling period, I took one of the vials out, shook it in methanol, and extracted the simazine that was extractable from the soil. I analyzed bound residues using a oxidizer. And then using that NaOH vial in there, I was able to analyze the amount of 14 CO2 produced, which is what the simazine was labeled with. So as you see here, we have percent 14C simazine on the y-axis and weeks after treatment on the x-axis. Non-sterile on the left, sterile on the right. You do see a decrease in extractable fraction over time, especially in this non-sterile graph. You see a rapid decrease with most of the simazine becoming either microbial degraded or bound in the first 4 weeks. What was interesting to me was all of a sudden you see this jump up in extractability at about 2 weeks. I'm proposing that it's possibly that it's rapidly sorbing and then it's trying to achieve equilibrium again, so it's desorbing back into soil solution. But you do not see that in the turf grass samples in the non-sterile here with the extractable, because I believe the microbes are removing that fraction immediately once it's desorbed. When you look at bound fraction, you see a slow increase, and with the sterile, again, you see that the turf is leading the pack here late in the experiment. So it's a slow sorption, but eventually it becomes more sorbed to that turf or that organic matter in turf when there's no microorganisms there. But when microorganisms are present, the sorption is higher in the bare ground because the microorganisms are quickly removing the pesticide from soil solution in the turf as opposed to the bare. So this kind of wraps everything up. So we say that you see here that the cumulative CO2 is much higher in the turf throughout the entire experiment and lower in the bare ground. This indicates lower microbial activity in the bare ground soil compared to the turf. Again, you see that the subsoil from the bare is sorbing the chemical and it's not as microbially available, and microbes have a are less active at lower pHs. So in conclusion, sorption was directly related to organic matter levels in the turf. Sorption decreased with increasing depth in the turf grass system, but not in the bare ground. More CO2 evolved from the turf than the bare ground. In the absence of microbial activity, soil was binding was higher in the turf grass, but remember that when microbial activity was there, it was higher in the bare ground. And again, after that rapid initial sorption, there was some desorption occurring, and then a slow but steady increase in sorption. So with that, I'd like to thank my committee members and the Center for Turfgrass Environmental Research and Education at NC State for funding this research. And if I have time, I can take any questions.
We do have time with a 9 o'clock break for those of you that are interested in asking questions for Adam.
Yes, Aaron? Well, there's not a lot you can do. Simazine is it's not going to leach unless you have a very sandy soil with a moderate pH that where you get a lot of irrigation, which could happen with a sod farm. So you just have to be mindful of that and not. Obviously, as I said, over-apply it. You can't apply too much. It's going to stick around for a long time. It's got a really low water solubility. So those sorption values, even in that bare ground, were actually pretty moderate to high. So the reason that it's environmentally a problem is that it sticks around for so long. So.
Thank you.
Thanks.